Rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice. This opening line from St. Paul to the Philippians, that is from that verse is where we receive the name of this particular Sunday in the year. It's Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete meaning joy. So the 4 weeks of Advent each have their own kind of theme, hope, peace, joy. And so this idea of joy, we hear it, if you pay attention, the opening collect, three different times in the opening collect, it talks about rejoicing and joy. In our first reading from Zephaniah, we don't get a lot of readings from Zephaniah, but we have one here, this third Sunday of Advent. Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Be glad and exult with all your heart. And then, of course, again, from St. Paul in the Philippians, rejoice always. Joy, joy, joy. So even in the midst of this penitential season, this midst of Advent, where, you know, things are supposed to be quieter, more simple, all that kind of stuff, we don't sing the Gloria for Advent, the church gives us this moment of respite and a little rest and joy. And so I remember even I was a kid, you know, 5, 6 years old, I would look at the Easter candle. I knew when that pink candle was lit, oh, it's almost Christmas, let's go, you know? And that's what's supposed to happen. It's supposed to have this sense of, like, this expectation of, like, you know, the little kid who just can't wait for Christmas. So we come to this feast, and again, there's this line from St. Paul of rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. But then there's a line in here that's just kind of catch you off guard a little bit, or it's just like I read this line and I scratch my head. Have no anxiety at all. Yeah. Have no anxiety at all. And now keep in mind, he's writing through the early church of the Philippians. They're persecuted. Things are not going particularly well there. They're starting to get a little bit of traction, but here he is saying to them, have no anxiety at all. Now, if you recall from the first Sunday of Advent, what was Jesus' admonition to us? Be careful that you don't become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and anxieties of daily life. There's this theme. Advent, the season of Advent, the church does this intentionally. It's a tapestry, and there are threads that are woven throughout that tapestry that create this picture of what the church is attempting to present to us. And this Sunday of rejoicing is an integral part of that. But what's interesting is, like, what St. Paul says to his church after that anxiety. Have no anxiety at all. But he gives an antidote to anxiety. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And unfortunately, in our day, like that long, I mean, what's his advice? What's he saying? It's unfortunately kind of become a tagline that is a throwaway trash line that we say to one another that's hollow and empty. Pray about it. Pray about it. But it's not empty for St. Paul. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. St. Paul is teaching his flock in this letter, something that St. Therese of Lisieux picks up and reiterates later on, and, you know, just in the last 150 years or so. But and it's this, that if you have anxiety, your trust is going to be low. And if your trust is high, your anxiety will be low. They can't exist in the same environment. So if we're trying to overcome anxieties, worries, fears, and we're trying to grasp after everything, it's like the drowning person who's looking for something to latch onto to have something solid. That's the anxiety of where a lot of us spend our lives day in and day out. But if we want to reduce the anxiety, we have to increase trust. St. Therese said there's a formula, a recipe for this, and you've probably heard me say this before, but it bears repeating, that if you want to increase your trust of the Lord, we do that, we're not born trusting God. And babies are not born trusting mom and dad. For St. Therese, she said, we learn to trust God the exact same way a baby learns to trust his parents. When a baby is born and it cries and it poops its diaper and it's hungry in the middle of the night and it's sick and mom and dad stay up all night feeding them and patting them and walking them and all that kind of stuff, this baby has a collection, this little infant. They figure this out. There's a collection of data points. Mom and dad took care of me here and here and here and here and here. I can trust mom and dad will take care of me here. Well, St. Therese says, is when we focus our prayer, because not all prayer is created equal. It just isn't. A lot of times in our prayer, we make our petitions known to God, but we skip the thanksgiving part. We skip gratitude. And what St. Therese says is when we make gratitude and thanksgiving a part of our prayer, and we thank the Lord, thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you, Lord, for my spouse. Thank you, Lord, for my job. Thank you, Lord, I have a roof over my head. Thank you, Lord, I got up out of bed and I walked on my own 2 feet across the room. 10 million things that we receive every single day and we completely take for granted. But as we start recognizing those blessings and we actually take the time to say, thank you, Lord, it creates a collective body of data. The Lord has blessed me and taken care of me here and here and here. I can trust that he will take care of me here. Thanksgiving and praise is the other piece of that. Again, not all prayer is created equal, but when we intentionally focus our prayer on praising the Lord, we recognize who he is. The creator of the sun and the moon and the stars, who holds the cosmos in the palm of his hand. He created all of this. He can take care of me. So again, it's the idea of taking our eyes off of the storm, like St. Peter when he began to sink, and redirecting them back to the Lord. We praise him and we thank him. And the result of those two prayers is an increase of trust. Like a mathematical formula. That is what St. Paul is instructing his congregation, who are persecuted, who have seen their family members killed in front of them for the practicing of their faith. The last thing I would say, looking at our gospel today, John the Baptist, this is one of the very few gospels throughout the year where we don't see Jesus specifically in the gospel. This gospel focuses on John the Baptist. All the people who are coming with questions, they're asking John the Baptist, the crowd who says, the tax collectors, what should we do? Stop collecting more than what's prescribed. The soldiers, what should we do? Stop practicing exhorting, and stop accusing people falsely. Be satisfied with your wages. It's all the things that these people already know. But John is just telling them, John the Baptist, the precursor, making straight the path of the Lord, which is exactly what we are supposed to do in Advent. And it's things we already know. I found over and over and over again, if I take my microphone, if I was to come down and put you on the spot, what is it that you are avoiding in your life? What is the thing that you are supposed to be doing that you're not, or you are doing that you're not supposed to be doing? I guarantee every one of us would be able to just like that say, well, this is the thing. I know it. In Advent, we're supposed to go after that thing. And a particular way of doing that, what the Lord has given us, is the sacrament of confession. And so Advent has always been one of those seasons where, just like I think of like St. Joseph cleaning out the stable, they didn't have room in the inn, so they go to the stable, and there's animals in the stable, and you know what animals do, and there's animal stuff all over the place. And so there's Joseph doing his best to put out fresh hay, to scoop all the junk off to the side. That's Advent for us. And that's what the sacrament of confession is supposed to be. So especially for those of you who maybe it's been a minute, but it's been longer than a year, if you haven't been able to make it to confession, really the precept of the church is that everyone goes to confession at least once a year during the Lenten season or Easter season. So Easter or Lent in that period of time. But if you haven't been doing that, it's probably worthwhile. It's probably time. I'd like to invite you to come back to confession. And tonight, 7 o'clock, there'll be four priests available. So we'll be kind of spread out throughout the church from 7 to 8 o'clock tonight. Just an opportunity to take that step to do exactly just that. To kind of clean out the stable a little bit. To make room for the newborn Christ child. And then Wednesday night, from 6 to 7, it'll just be me. Very simple. Just be offering confessions here in the church. Just an invitation, just to make this available, as available as possible for you. Just as a way of preparing to make straight that path. But in a particular way today, that we rejoice. To give thanks. Take a moment to be grateful. To kind of recognize some of those blessings that maybe you're taking for granted. And to actually stop and pause and tell the Lord thank you for those gifts.